Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 5:10 p.m. That is on October 1st, and I'm based in the UK at for this week. For the chart seminar on Thursday and Friday, and David's memorial concert on Saturday. One thing that I certainly am reminded of today is that David always had a very clear maxim, which was never to write knocking copy. And I am rather conscious of that today because I think I spent some wrote a, I think a rather strident piece about China. And I do think though that it's not exactly right not writing knocking copy to call out the fact that we have apologists for tyranny that have got a financial interest in China that are standing up and trying to defend what is a reprehensible record of human rights abuses, disrespect for minority shareholder interests, intellectual property, environmental abuses, and these are all factors that are now being brought to light, in some circles at least. We are definitely seeing a slowdown in the Chinese economy. That was what I found particularly interesting today, was that despite the fact that we had a large military parade in Beijing to celebrate the 70th anniversary of Communist Party rule, they have now succeeded in surviving 1 year longer than the USSR. That, I guess, is a point of pride for the Communist Party. But the much bigger issue is that they continue to allow their currency to devalue. There is a slowdown, quite evident. There is commodity price inflation, particularly in foodstuffs. Then there is the fact that they are running a deficit per annum in the region of 5% of GDP. And there's a trade war going on. So then we look at Deere, and this is a big international company with leverage to global growth, and it's coming up to the upper side of the range that has persisted for most of the last 21 months. Now the big question is whether it is going to be able to sustain a move on the upside. Wall Street was in negative territory today, but what I think is interesting is when we start to contrast some of the bigger industrial companies, those that are truly leveraged to global growth, then they are starting to turn the corner. Illinois Tool Works, for example, was in negative territory today, but it's been consolidating above the trend mean, and it has broken its sequence of lower rally highs, and it's been in this range now for most of the last 6 months. ABB, which is again a very large engineering and robotics company, had been trending down for a really prolonged period, but it is now back above the trend mean. The question, of course, is whether it is going to be able to sustain this move and to clearly break the more than 20-month downtrend. If we do get a deal between the USA and China, there will probably be a knee-jerk reaction in terms of stock markets, and they'll probably jump higher. But what it would probably also signal is that if China is demonstrating a willingness to deal, that would probably be a further indictment for the health of their economy. There is no question that China is being more adversely affected by the trade war than the USA is. When we look at what's going on in terms of the USA, well, the S&P 500 had a knee-jerk reaction today to the news that factory activity surprised on the downside. It reversed an earlier advance, but of course, the other side of that equation is that if factories are not doing quite as well as people had anticipated, then it is increasingly likely that we are going to see additional measures to support the economy, so further interest rate cuts and even more quantitative easing. The Federal Reserve's balance sheet is expanding once more. when we look at that trend, that it has now been rising for the last 2 weeks. It's put on or tacked on an additional $100 billion in terms of the size of the balance sheet. That's been in direct response to the inability of the Federal Reserve without a standing repo facility to manage the upper bound of the Fed funds rate target. They have complete control of the lower bound, but without prop traders with and the liquidity that they would have been expected to provide, the Fed now has to provide that liquidity itself, and that pretty much ensures that the size of the balance sheet is going to be moving higher and potentially indefinitely so. When we look though at the total value of assets sitting on central banks, this chart is denominated in dollars. The relative strength of the dollar, and sorry, that's not the right chart, but the relative strength of the dollar has been a containing force in the performance of this index. This is pretty much the quantitative easing index. It adds together the totals sitting on the balance sheets of just about all of the central banks, at least all the major ones. Was in mildly positive territory today, but it was at a new reaction low yesterday. What we also, of course, need to keep an eye on is the fact that we're seeing that an increasing number of countries are now engaged in fiscal spending as well. So we need a separate measure for that. And fiscal spending is up to about $950 billion per annum. And that is a rolling total based upon the releases as and when they're released. That's one of the issues with trying to compile this particular index is that different countries report their data at different times, so it does tend to jump around a lot. Nonetheless, the trend has very clearly been towards fiscal stimulus since the second quarter of 2018, going from 200 to 950 billion. On top of the fact that central bank balance sheets are starting to increase, the missing ingredient in terms of outright stimulus for the global economy is the dollar. And the dollar has been trending higher over the course of the last year. It was in negative territory in here today, and that is unwinding an intraday advance. The one thing we can certainly say about the trend over the course of the last year is that pops on the upside have not been sustained. This is looking increasingly likely right now that we could see some additional selling pressure. It's more than likely, though, that the progression of higher reaction lows will remain intact. It does look increasingly likely that the Federal Reserve will add additional stimulus, whether that is in the form of additional rate cuts, remains to be seen. What we certainly saw in Australia today was the central bank cutting rates down to 0.75%. The performance of the Australian economy probably is a better barometer of what we can see going on in China than anything else, and the weakness of the Aussie dollar, where interest rates are coming down, they're already at historically low levels. There is the potential that China's slowdown is going to necessitate additional stimulative measures from the RBA. The downtrend in the currency is leading to at least a rebound in terms of the performance of the ASX 200. Just in nominal terms, at least, we've seen a clear bounce from the region of the trend mean. It is worth looking at the longer-term chart in terms of the performance of the Australian index because we are within points of the all-time peak from back in 2007. So it wouldn't be beyond the bounds possibility that we get some additional consolidation here, but considering the fact that it is the weakness of the currency is driving this advance, then I think that's one of the more important points. Because when, for example, we look at for example, a US dollar denominated ETF, then the impact that the weakness of the currency has had on performance is really quite acute. And in fact, the index was in negative territory today because of that currency change. When we look at the outlook for the Treasury market, at one point today the yield was up about 8 basis points and it is now down about 4. That's unwinding the short-term advance. We haven't quite yet had clear evidence of a higher reaction low. I do still think, though, that this very clear upward dynamic that we saw 3 weeks ago is the beginning of a softening up process. It did not rally further to break the sequence of lower rally highs. We may yet get it coming back down to test the 1.5% level, but it does increasingly look like that there's a softening up process going, that this continued outperformance of bond proxy investments is looking rather long in the tooth. When we look at the consistency of the trend on Procter & Gamble and the pace of the advance, then I do think that it is very steep. It is not yet over. There is obviously a clear sequence of higher reaction lows. When that's eventually broken, then we will have a peak of at least near-term significance. The rally that's been underway for the last year and a half is really incredibly impressive for a large company with having the ability to almost double in such a short period of time is a testament to how reliable their dividends are. Then I think it's also worth looking at Microsoft. It's been rallying for much the same reason. They've been able to cut the cyclicality out of their earnings, and that has contributed to the strength of the share, particularly over the course of the last few years and stemming from the adoption of that subscription business model. Then, when we think about the gold price, it was in negative territory in here today, but then it has rebounded because the dollar has been weaker. So it is demonstrating support around this $1,450 area, and that is beginning to signal that the first clear point is that the pullback has been still reasonably shallow. There is still the potential that we're going to get a deeper pullback. That was certainly something that we saw after the initial pop on the upside in 2001. But now the question is whether we're going to see a lengthier consolidation or whether the price will mirror that kind of full retracement of the initial advance on this occasion. And the jury is still out on that. When we look at the silver price, it was down really very heavily yesterday, and we're starting to see some evidence of support coming back in. I'm rather tempted to open a position here. I was rather hoping we might see an additional retracement back towards the $16 area. I may not get my preferred entry point. If I see upside follow through tomorrow, I will almost certainly be opening a long position. When we look at the platinum price, then it has been in weak territory. That was an awfully big downward dynamic we saw yesterday. It has pretty much unwound the overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and if it can begin to demonstrate support in this area, then that would help to bolster the argument that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. The oil price was in negative territory yesterday. It was in negative territory again in here today, and down 62 cents. that is now pulling back and testing the sequence of higher reaction lows, the fact is that there is a significant risk of demand under shooting. And that is one of the reasons why the price is pulling back. It is less now a story about supply shocks and perhaps more about a demand shock. When we think about the German stock market and the German economy, well, there's an increasing risk of recession, and that's a downside key reversal on the DAX in here today. But one point that we saw being made by Daimler over the course of the last week was in, I think, part of the reason for this announcement was in response to the revelations about their own diesel cheating scandal, but that they're going to stop production of new internal combustion engines, that they're plowing all of their research and development into the evolution of battery technology. If that is indeed the case, it represents an existential threat to the smaller companies that rely on demand for parts from the automotive sector. Now, the MDAX continues to hold above the trend mean, but it is susceptible to additional downside. But then, when we think about the FTSE 100, I think that one point that is quite clear is that people in the UK seem to be sick to death of talking about Brexit. And that means there's a market in it. It's at the point of maximum disillusionment with the outlook that investment opportunities arise. The FTSE 250 should benefit from a closing out of the risk premium relating to Brexit. The pound has been steadying, and now it is coming back up into the region of the trend mean against the euro. It has pulled back from that area over the course of the last couple of days. I still do think, though, that it is likely to get back up towards the 115 area before we get a clear test of the overall ranging environment. If we do get a general election, the problem I think that is one potential outcome is we get another hung parliament, but perhaps this time not relying on the support of the DUP. It's at that point then that I think there is going to be a movement to cut the six counties in Northern Ireland loose. And obviously, that is going to represent a significant threat of destabilization in Northern Ireland, but it could be the price for eventually getting the deal through. If Boris Johnson can get the deal through, then it's going to be on a fudge of the Irish border. But it is going to contain all of the concessions that Theresa May made. So there's no good solution to this problem. But any solution to the problem is likely to be a catalytic event in terms of demand for UK assets. And I think that is something that international investors need to pay attention to. When we look at the A-share index in China, then it was in negative territory when it was last updated. Now we're back into a period referred to as Golden Week, so we're not going to get another update on the stock market until then. The Hong Kong market is going to be closed for at least the next couple of days, although it will not be for the next week. The Nifty index in India was in negative territory today, but it is bouncing from the region of the trend mean and it is continuing to hold that pop on the upside that we saw at the beginning of last week. The bank index in India has been a reliable lead indicator for at least the last decade. The fact that it is also bouncing from the region of the trend mean is a positive. and the Indian rupee has been distinctly inert over the course of the last year, trading in a reasonably tight band for this currency, at least, of only about 4 rupees. But it was in negative territory and encountering resistance in the region of the trend mean over the course of the last few days. The fact that the Indian government is running a significant fiscal deficit in order to stimulate the economy is likely to be beneficial for the stock market for as long as it lasts, but it should put downward pressure on the currency. India does not need a currency that is deteriorating fast, but they probably would welcome a weaker currency overall. The Kospi index in South Korea is another barometer of demand in the global economy, and it is now steadying in the region of the trend mean. Now, there is still the sequence of lower rally highs. In fact, the index was one of the first to peak, and the South Korean economy was starting to be under pressure in 2017, when everyone was starting to think about a period of synchronized global economic expansion. South Korea is highly levered to the health of the global economy. The fact that it is now steadying is rather positive. Of course, it is being helped along by the weakness of the won over the same period, but it is looking increasingly likely that Samsung Electronics has broken its downtrend. And I think what was also interesting was the fact that Kia Motors, again, another automotive company, but it also had been trending downwards for quite some time, and it is now trending on the upside. So this is a very clear change relative to the downtrend that started all the way back in 2012. What the fact of the matter is that when you've got Samsung and Taiwan Semiconductor and Kia and Deere and Illinois Toolworks and AbbVie all starting to turn around, that suggests that investors are beginning to price in the potential that we are coming to the end of the trade war. But it's not there yet in terms of the results from the negotiations. There is definitely, though, some pricing in of that potential. I think that the argument around China and its relationship with the wider global economy is something we're going to be debating for years to come. I do think that the trade war is going to ebb and flow. But one thing we also have to pay attention to is that China is one side of the equation. President Trump is the other, and he definitely wants to get re-elected. It's going to be very difficult to be re-elected if the economy is contracting. Therefore, he has an incentive to put the trade war on hold, or to at least wring some form of concession out of China now, so that he can get the economy humming over the course of the next year and try and win the election. In the event that he wins the election, then he would be completely free to amp up the trade war again and to try and get more concessions, or indeed to try and drive the Chinese economy into a recession, which is something that they haven't had to deal with in a while. So we are at, I think, a rather interesting juncture, because there has been a clear conclusion that this trade war is going to go on indefinitely, but that does not quite gel with the Trump administration's ambition to not become a one-term presidency. And with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.